You're listening to VFN TV highlights at VFNKB.com. Enjoy.
You know, I'm thinking about when I'm reading your book, you know, Ants, Vines, and the Church, is that we live in such an infertile world that, you know, where nations right now are not creating enough, they're not having, the birth rate's so low that Japan will cease to exist in a couple of a decade or so. America's not producing that many children to reproduce. Europe is gone in regards to whoever they were because they stopped having children. And that, but when I look at it, being with my years in ministry, your years in ministry, I can't help but go, why are we talking about the world's infertility when we look at the church and it's like, we're not reproducing, we're not having children. Because to have a child means this. I got to sacrifice myself. I have to spend time with the child. I have to raise it. I have to want their life to do good. I have to deal with a different person, different personality, different character, somebody who might tell me I'm a bad father or a bad mother. And then somehow through all this, you know, family happens. And it's painful to your own self sometimes to pour yourself out for someone. So people say, I'd rather abort this child than to live with it. I'd rather not have children. Some particular lady said on a Sunday morning interview program, she says, I don't dislike children. I'm just indifferent to them. She's a teacher in the school system. And so my dilemma is when I hear about you on this is that the church is infertile. I think if the church was fertile, the world, if we appreciated children and family, they would appreciate children and family. Does that make sense? If we saw value in pouring our life out for someone else and it was okay for them to do better than us and we saw pleasure in their success, isn't the church almost like a plumb line for God's creation that if we are healthy, then it reflects in the community? It just seems to be infertility in the church.
Well,
in American church, I could say.
Well, there is in the Western church, Europe, infertility is a subject that should be explored because it's a natural phenomenon as well as a spiritual phenomenon, and it's true in most countries, and the testosterone levels are dropping around the world, and it's a serious issue more than people realize. And how much culture affects biology and how much biology affects culture, I'm not a scientist, but my belief is that the culture affects biology, that the climate, the cultural climate, has a bearing on us physically. For one thing, children grow up without physical labor. Which I think is important, particularly to men. When I grew up working in a farm or doing construction, and in fact, I got a job when I was 9 sweeping rooms at school. It was just a work ethic.
Right.
And my parents taught me that. They were hardworking, and that was good for me. But that's all gone away, and now, of course, you've got cell phones that are very dominant, mm-hmm. and you can find out anything. You don't need a library.
Right.
And you can talk to anybody around the world. You can network with anybody.
Without relationship.
Without relationship. And without any physical effort. Mm-hmm. So I really am concerned about the physical impact this is having on humanity. And of course, whatever is going on in nature and whatever is going on, let's say, in the church, mm-hmm. parallels. Our founders believe God wrote 2 books, the Bible and natural law, and that they agreed because they had the same author. Mm-hmm. And I believe that, of course. I think nature, if we truly come at it open, will teach us the same truths like reproduction.
Right. Romans chapter 1, verse 20. It talks about
that's
that.
That's right.
Yeah.
So everything is designed to reproduce. That's how it's here.
Right.
Everything has memory or it couldn't reproduce. Mm-hmm. Take away memory, you take away reproduction. I mean, the parallels and the depth of that conversation is big.
So it could be impacting the church because the church sees we're doing things in a traditional way versus a natural production reproduction way of, you know, you come together, you hang out. It's like, this is an amazing thing to me, is you can have two young people who hang out with each other, and all of a sudden they go, we don't know what happened, but we're getting married next week.
Right.
And it's like accidentally, they go, accidentally, that they hung out, and something happened in their lives, and they realized, oh my gosh, we accidentally reproduced. But it's like the church can't even act. And I'm not speaking to that. I love the church. But it's like we hang out, the church hangs out, and all we get is a potluck dinner. It's like we hang out. And
don't reproduce.
People who don't even know God can hang out.
Right.
And when they leave, they have reproduction taking place. But the struggle is like there's so much a lack of intimacy that is required for building a relationship that does reproduce another relationship. How do you fix that dilemma? I mean, how do you get people to like people enough to want to have God's children? Does that make sense?
Well, yes, and you know, along with that is couples are getting married later and later and having children later and later. And let me take this in a way that may seem a little off subject. But did you ever ask yourself, how did the Jews pass on the law before the synagogue was formed? How did they pass on their culture? I think most people agree the synagogue was formed in Babylon to preserve the culture. But, you know, that's not quite, but maybe almost 1,000 years after right. Moses. What did they do then to pass it on?
Kind of told the story, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
They would tell it verbally.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. They would pass on relationally with their children in the community. And I think once they started depending on the synagogue, the story became more academic and less spiritual content.
Right.
I think the same is true. I think for many years, the story in this country was passed on in families. And then as families began to dissolve, or as parents are out working, it became more institutional. We trusted the institution to pass on our story.
And they changed the story.
They changed the story. Exactly. Mm. And so what I'm saying is that it isn't a fruitful story.
Right.
The years ago, not too many years ago, the story you got in the family, the story you got in the school was pretty much the same. We had Bible reading and prayer every morning at school. If you're in trouble in one place, you're in trouble everywhere.
Right.
Because it was a community. Yeah. That's not true right. In the same way. And I don't mean to talk about the good old days. They had their problems too. But I am concerned about the lack of fruitfulness. And there are those that are fruitful, thank God.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, in Europe, the fruitfulness, and to some extent, we wouldn't be reproducing ourselves here without the foreign population coming in.
Right, true.
And in Europe, that's doubly true.
That's actually why people are embracing the migration of immigrants, because they're realizing that's their right. nation will not exist if they don't increase their population.
But the people that are reproducing in Europe, for the most part, are Islamic.
Mm, that's true.
And they're having fruit because it's very family oriented. Now, we think it's a distorted view of family, mm-hmm. but nevertheless, it is family oriented.
I believe the projections are maybe 10 years that it will totally be Islamic because of the birth rate alone.
That's right.
Yeah, that's amazing.
That's right. And we're following the trend. We're just a little behind.
Right, right.
We always follow Europe here.
So then, how do we rediscover? We have to find meaning in family again, and it may mean just be in family, watch Holy Spirit do what He does, and it just begins again because of the fact you can't take what refuses to be or what's confident or just settle, this is us, and try to bring that into something, because it's like mixing the old and the new, they just rip each other apart. But I look around and look at who's there, who's attending these different gatherings, and all, I'm like, there's not a lot of young people in these gatherings, there's not, you know, and it's and nothing against, you know, people our age or older, is the fact is, it's like, how are we going to reach that generation, you know? What do you think is going to be the thing? And you've seen things happen, like in the 60s, when Holy Spirit just started shifting almost against everyone's will, things you didn't necessarily would have accepted, God began just to do it. And you watched Him do what He did.
I think it's going to take the Holy Spirit. I have carried two big concerns, one being men and the other being youth. And I'm not so concerned about the status of women, though there's a lot to be concerned about.
Right.
But I believe if God reaches men and God reaches youth, that will help women. I think Jesus did more for women than anybody's ever thought about doing.
Yes, he did, yeah.
And I'm all for upgrading the status of women. But you can do that even to the detriment of men.
Right.
And that I think we live in an anti-male culture.
We do.
And that's foolish because we're talking about fruitfulness.
Right.
And I don't want to go too far with this, but we are getting away from what causes fruitfulness, what makes it happen. And I believe that there are places where God is reaching young people, mm-hmm. and where they're getting on board. I think that creating, and I advocate this wherever I go, get with a small group of people that you're compatible with, you can be united with.
Right.
Make that your spiritual community in place of accountability. Mm-hmm. Then focus on praying for young people or whatever needs to be
right.
prayed for. But you'll have success if there's harmony and the Holy Spirit is there. Things will happen that won't happen, I don't think, any other way. That's how the charismatic movement got started, was women's prayer groups.
Okay.
And they were praying about husbands and children.
Right.
And issues and gathering in homes and seeking God, the Holy Spirit began to fall, and it can happen again.
Yeah, that's where we birthed out of the whole situation, where we're just loving God, loving each other, and then it came to the point where it's like, okay, in addition to that, you're going to need to reach out.
Right.
And we were amazed because we were reading, maybe it was a mega shift from James Ritz or somebody said, you know, yes, this small gathering, and I hate that we define things by where it meets. We don't call it the stucco church.
Right,
we don't call
right.
it the brick church, and we don't
right.
or the storefront church. For some reason, if a church happens to meet into a house,
right.
you know, they call it a house church. But from what I understand, the United States of America has ran out of a house called the White House.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can run the biggest country in the world out of a house.
Right.
So we're reading with like two of those churches got together, and they noticed that all the schools were leaving this particular inner city area. And so they got together and said, let's start a school. I mean, two churches that people would think have no impact,
right?
Literally, powerfully impacted
right.
this community because they said, let's start a school. They started a school, and I was so amazed by that. And now we're looking like, well, God started with us. He started an international television program. We just followed Him. We did what He said. But it's without those relationships, though, Brother Charles, without having people
right.
who love you and you love them and you're walking through life together, we wouldn't have made it. But we've done it out of those relationships that we have.
Absolutely.
Does it make sense?
One will chase 1,000, two will put 10,000 to flight.
Yes.
And I agree completely. I think that's where the church is, where two or three are gathered together in His name. He's in the midst. I had a message for one of the groups, the Statesman Project, called The Power of Small.
Mm-hmm.
And everything God has done that I can think of, as far as we're involved, came out of a small group of people seeking God, all the great revivals. And there's some tremendous stories, the Hebrides revival, the Shantung revival, great revivals. Two or three people or four people got concerned and started seeking God, repenting, humbling themselves, and next thing you know, the power of God fell.
Right.
And I believe that that can happen again. In fact, I think that the greatest harvest has not yet happened. Mm-hmm. But my concern is that it not be in the minds of people a redo on what's happened in the past.
Correct.
That this be something, because every real revival brings new songs and new methods.
Right.
That's how the Methodists got their name, is Whitfield went out into the minors and all that, and then finally Wesley followed, and they call them Methodists because they didn't any longer use the liturgical method in the church. They were out. Well, there's always new methods. And
something that it's going to be new, a new thing, and the old thing can't contain it.
Right.
Well, I'm looking at, that the things the Lord's showing us that, I mean, He's told us very specifically that, I mean, it's going to be just, 100 million people getting saved, for example, but you can't connect them in organizations. You connect them through relationship, and that, that some streams are going to be responsible for, like in China, they have, this is normal in China, but not in the West. 60 million people could be in their expression, but it's, they might not know who they are, but there's you know what I'm saying, relationship and family. One man could be locked up in jail, but he's a father to a million people.
That's exactly he's responsible. Right.
Okay, that's what I'm talking about. And so we're just saying, God, you're going to give us the wisdom for that, how to connect.
You've just been listening to the highlights from the VFN TV and the Daily Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at vfnkb.com. And don't forget about our VFN KB app. No matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share it with your friends. Connect and sign up for the next webinar or attend our next summit at vfnkb.com. VFN TV and the Daily Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light.